Dallas Theological Seminary's Chapel Podcast.
Let me tell you a little bit about Steve Bramer. He is our chairman of the Bible X department. Goodness, Steve, look at this. You're dying by degrees, let me tell you. You got a Bachelor of Theology from Tyndale University College. I guess that was in Canada, I think, in 76. And a bachelor's degree from University of Waterloo in 78. And then an MDiv from Tyndale Seminary in 80. And a THM from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in 82. And a PhD from Dallas Theological Seminary in 1997. Dr. Bramer taught at Briarcrest Bible College for 16 years and at Briarcrest Biblical Seminary in Saskatchewan, Canada, before he came to join the faculty at DTS. When I first got to know Steve, he was battling kidney rejection and subsequent to that underwent kidney replacement, and that was a miracle in itself. Wonderful story that I've heard him tell. He's done a variety of other things, being a teaching elder, youth pastor, pulpit supply throughout Canada. He ministers abroad for Word of Life Institute in Hungary and Montana Wilderness School of the Bible, and has been at Jordan, at Jets in Jordan. And he's teaching pastor at Waterbrook Bible Fellowship, travels yearly to Israel, and he knows every rock in Israel. Steve, tell me about that rock right there. Oh, they brought it in a dump truck. That was one of the five smooth stones and that David had. Anyway, enough of that. He can build a house from the ground up, too, let me tell you. Come on, Steve, let's welcome him.
He only gives you 10 minutes to speak. He takes three or four to give the introduction and leaves you with six. So I'm tired today. My hands are covered. I've got most of the paint off. I've been painting, trying to get my kitchen suitable for my wife. And so I was spray painting yesterday, and I stuck my head in some cupboards to make sure that I was getting the spray paint in the back, because my wife will come and examine, make sure that it's all done. And I was just covered with white, and so I've been showering and trying to get it off. And I realized that the white in my beard is just there. It's got nothing to do with the paint. And Sunday night and Monday night, we've had our four-week-old granddaughter, Madeline Rose, staying at our place so Mom and Dad can get some sleep in the far bedroom. And my wife got up two nights ago and said, "What are you doing?" And I was on the floor on a blanket with Madeline beside me, and she was starting to cry. So I was blowing on the side of her head, and that would get her attention, and she wouldn't cry. Well, I'd been doing this for about 20 minutes. My wife got up and looked at me and said, "You're hyperventilating. Take her to her mother and let her feed her." So I'm tired. And yet, late last night, in the middle of the night, in fact, I woke up, and what I'd planned to speak on, I decided not to. So I've developed a little something early this morning that I trust will be of help to you. When God says no, and you just thought you were following him, you thought that you were doing what he wanted you to do, and yet God then says no to you. The best grade I ever got at Dallas Theological Seminary was not an A. It was my first grade for a paper that I received in my PhD course. I had worked really, really hard in that paper, and I handed it in to Dr. Homer Heater. And Dr. Homer Heater gave me a grade. It wasn't a bad grade, but he asked if he could see me. And I went into his office and said, "Stephen, you've been teaching for 11 years at Bible College, but I want you to learn to write better and to think better and to research better." And it was discouraging. And I came out of that office, and I called my older brother, who is just a great encouragement to me, and I told him, I said, "Paul, I did not get an A in my first paper." And he said, "Praise God, now you can't get a 4-point GPA. And I thought, "Oh, thank you." He said, "You're there to learn. You're there to learn." And I'm so thankful for that grade, because it really changed my way of doing work here at DTS. I began to try and think better and to write better and to research better. But when God says no to you, when God says that's not what you're going to do, it can be discouraging. In 1981, we went out to Briarcrest Bible College in Cairnport, Saskatchewan, just north of the Montana, North Dakota border, way up there. It gets minus 40 degrees in the wintertime without the wind chill factor. And we were there for 11 years. I got a chance to build a house with 12-inch thick walls, and we just loved it there. We had three children there, developed a kidney disease, got a kidney transplant there, was excited about what God was doing, and I sensed that God wanted me to come down here to DTS to do a PhD. And so in 1992, we loaded everything onto an old school bus, took out the seats, and came down to DTS. Before I left, they talked to me, the administration talked to me, that when I came back to Briarcrest, that they would like me to become involved in some administration in a position within the academic school setting. And so I came down here and I spent 3 years studying and researching and trying to think better and trying to write better. And I went back to Briarcrest in July of 1995. Still with my dissertation left to do, but working hard on it. And I got back there, and within a week or two of getting back there, there was a change in leadership. And about a month later, they announced new positions, vice presidents and academic deans and associate deans and a number of positions. And I was not on the list, even though I'd been promised. And I was discouraged. And I was hurt. And I had many conversations with the Lord. I could have stayed there and just taught with my THM. I didn't need a PhD. I had spent 3 years down here sacrificing. My kids hadn't had a lot down here, although we had a fun time and God had provided for us. But it would have been easier just to stay in my home and play hockey and have a good time up there in Saskatchewan. Yet God said no. In the book of Acts, I want you to take a look at two verses, not perhaps the normal verses you would preach from. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they'd come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Paul has started his journey at Antioch. He has come over to Lystra. Just before he'd started the journey, Paul and Barnabas had had the disagreement. Paul had taken Silas with him. Now here in Lystra, Paul picks up a young man named Timothy, and Paul is going to mentor this young man. If you've ever had the wonderful opportunity to mentor a young person, you know that it's wonderful when things go well for you when you're mentoring them. And Paul starts off with Titus, and he heads up towards Antioch, Pisidia, and then he tries to go into Asia, and the Holy Spirit says, no, can't go here. Now, Paul had been called to minister. Paul was on this missionary journey. He believed that he should be going. The church had prayed for them. They had sent them out. He's got a young man who's going to show how to do ministry, and God says, no. So Paul continues on the road up to Mysia, and then he tries to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus says, no. What's your reaction when you're trying to do what you believe God has called you to do, but he says no? This is not a no of discipline. This is not a no of correction. This is a no of guidance, and yet we so much enjoy guidance when it's affirmative, when it's come over. We need you. Please, please, please. And what does Paul do? He just keeps going, and he goes to the end of the road. Paul Little used to say, can't steer a parked car. So if you want God's guidance, you just keep going. You keep down the road and see how God guide you, and then you get to the end of the road, and in front of you there at Troas, Alexander Troas, is the sea, the Aegean Sea. What can we learn from these couple verses here in the book of Acts. Let me suggest three things to you. First of all, God knows future. Now, we'd all say amen. We understand that. But when God has said no to you, sometimes we forget that he knows what will happen down the road. When that list came out in August and the announcements were made and I wasn't on the list, I thought my world was coming to an end. I thought all the time and effort I'd spent, see, I was focused on a certain position at a certain school, and I forgot that God knows the future. What Paul didn't know is that when he got to Troas, he would receive a vision, the Macedonian call. Come over and help us. See, I think Paul was just planning to spend his time in Asia, Asia Minor. He didn't plan to go to Europe. But God knew the future, and God had something better for Paul, where he was going to go into Macedonia and Achaia. He didn't know that Dr. Luke was waiting in Troas. And when you read through the book of Acts, you begin to see now we are going certain places. He didn't know that God had a special person for him in the future, and he had to keep going. He didn't know that he was going to get a chance to minister in Asia because Lydia was from Thyatira in Asia. And when Paul got over to Philippi, he meets this woman who is from this area. So his desire was to reach these people from Asia. And God said, yes, but she is over in Philippi right now. And would you please go over there and minister? See, God knows the future. Now, we don't always know why certain things happen. But we need to understand that when God says, no, this position is not for you. No, this person is not for you. No, this job is not for you. Remember, God knows the future. Secondly, God has others he's planning on using too. The person who received the position that I had hoped to receive at Briarcrest Bible College was a very good friend who was in the home team that my wife and I attended. And I can remember that home team meeting when he and his wife, that you could just tell, I didn't know if she was pregnant or whatever, they were just kind of bouncing around on the sofa and finally said, can we just share something to you confidentially? He said, I've been asked for a certain position, and he described it, and I could feel my wife's hand just squeeze my hand really, really hard because she realized that I was about to blurt something out, and she needed to encourage me. And the pain in my hand was foreshadowing of what would happen if I blurted something out. And I sat there and tried to rejoice with this person. But you know what? He was gifted. God had a plan for him. And as I was reading through 1 Peter, I thought, Peter writes, an apostle of Jesus Christ to those of the elect of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. God knew that these people had to be reached, and somehow Peter or some of Peter's disciples got a chance to go up to Bithynia, to Asia, and to reach them. And when God says no to you, he might be saying yes to someone else. It's a good thing to keep in mind. The same Jesus, the Jesus who called you, is the same one who is leading you now, even in his nose. Did you notice that those verses that we read? When they come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, very unusual. We would have thought he should just repeat the Holy Spirit or the Spirit. He'd already mentioned they'd been forbidden by the Holy Spirit. And Luke may be trying to avoid repetition, but I think it's more than that. I think the Holy Spirit, as he inspires Luke to put this down, is saying Jesus, who called Paul on the road to Damascus and who gave him the ministry of becoming an apostle to the Gentiles, that same Jesus is leading him now. The Jesus who says no to you is the Jesus who loved you so much that he died on the cross of Calvary for you. And sometimes we begin to look at ourselves, why me? Don't you love me? Don't you? And it's that same Jesus who called you, who is leading you. Factors to remember: God knows the future. God has others he's planning and using too. The Jesus who called you is the same one leading you now. July, I'd arrived back in Cairnport, Saskatchewan. In October, there was an event in which all of the men were going to be installed in their new positions at Briarcrest Bible College. 3,000 or 4,000 people attended. We have a huge chapel up there. It's a wonderful Bible college, Canada's largest Bible college out in the middle of the prairies. The entire town is the Bible college. Everybody knows everyone. People from all over the western part of Canada came to this wonderful inauguration of our new president and various people. And I was hurting so much, I couldn't go. I couldn't go. My wife got dressed up and she said, "Aren't you coming?" And I said, "Honey, if I go there, I know that people will see it in my face that I'm hurting, and I don't want to take away anything from the rejoicing that really needs to go on there. I know that God is going to use these other men. I'm just feeling a little sorry for myself." And so I stayed home. We lived in the community. My wife walked over to the chapel. Friday night, 9 o'clock, phone rang. I picked up the phone. It was Dr. Roy Zook, who was chairman of the Bible Exposition Department at Dallas Theological Seminary. And he said, "Stephen, how are you coming with your dissertation?" I said, "Dr. Zook, I'm working hard on it." He said, "Stephen, I'm not even sure if I should ask you, but is there any way we could convince you to leave that school and come down to Dallas Theological Seminary?" And I just began to hyperventilate. I could not talk. He said, "It wouldn't even be for this September." He said, "It would be for a year from September." So like it's like 21 months away. Not sure if you realize, but most schools don't ask you to come 21 months in advance. He said, "We won't be able to do it this coming September." And I got off the phone and tears just began to flow down my face. I thought, "God, you knew the future, didn't you? If I had said yes to that position, I wouldn't have a chance to say yes to this position. God, you had other people who you wanted to use in these positions at Briarcrest. One of them being my friend who was from our home team. God, you called me. And since you called me, you will take care of me. You will lead and you will guide me. I want you to know I put on a suit and tie immediately. And I went over to that service so that I could rejoice with everybody at the end of the service. Tried to find my wife. She was sitting right in the middle. Couldn't tell her. We had to keep it quiet for almost a year before we could mention anything to people up there. But you know what? I just was grateful to God that he gave me that little glimpse into the fact that he loved me and was taking care of me. Our time down here at Dallas has been wonderful, wonderful. My illustration doesn't make the point. It illustrates the point. And it will be different for you. But I believe that some of you are struggling with the fact that God has said no to you in something that you would really love to do. Something that you're gifted to do. Something perhaps that other people have asked you to do, and yet God has come along and said no to you. Remember, God knows the future. He wants to use other people as well. And that Jesus who called you is the same Jesus who will lead you if you let him. Let's pray together. Father, forgive us for the times that we can't seem to trust you because we're trying to work it all out in our own mind. Father, forgive us for the times that we think more of ourselves than brothers and sisters who also want to be used by you. Father, forgive us for the times that we've stopped walking because we are upset. Thank you for the example of Paul who continued down that pathway, believing that you would lead and guide him in both the yeses and the noes of the Spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.